Okay, well, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. We also take your text questions. Tom has the text phone back in the Los Angeles studio, so we'll be doing that. Just have a quick question or so, just fire it off to him, and maybe we will be able to get that on for you. And we're going to have open lines quite a week, hasn't it? Quite a week indeed. And a couple little things I want to say about that episode in San Bernardino. But also, just to give you a little schedule for the holiday, now that Thanksgiving is out of the way, we will be live for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas night. I will. And then on New Year's Eve and New Year's night, we'll be live for you again. And full weekend programs, too. You know, 7 days a week, that's what we do for you. No pre-tapes and anything like that. And I want to thank you all for the support. You know, I'll be coming up on 13 years doing Coast to Coast full-time on January 1st. Truly, 13 years is a long, long time in radio. And the contract I've got will take us close to 2020. And who knows? God willing, health permitting, we'll just keep going. But thank you for everything you do, because you have made this show simply remarkable for everybody. We are approaching 615 affiliates in North America. That includes Canada, our great neighbors to the north. I'm in Vancouver and Toronto just about every year now at our live events, and I've got to tell you, our Canadian neighbors are just absolutely phenomenal people. I don't know if you ever dealt with neighbors before, because most of the time nowadays you don't communicate with them. Sometimes some people don't even know who they are, but it's just great to know that we've got neighbors to the north like Canadians, folks. I just think the world of them. San Bernardino, what another tragedy. Obvious links to terrorism. As a matter of fact, the latest report I have is that one of the shooters, Syed Farouk, had been in contact with people at least two foreign terrorist organizations before this episode occurred, killing 14 people. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that he was in contact with members of an al-Qaeda-affiliated group called the Nusra Front, and then an African extremist group called Al-Shabaab. In addition to the tragic 14 people who were dead, and there's still some critical and some injured, and their families, the other sad part of this incredible story is the little baby involved. The shooter's little baby that they left behind with the grandmother. What is going to happen to that little kid when he or she grows up? And they tell that child, who then becomes an adult, who your parents were and the heinous thing that they did. How does a person handle that? How do they live with that? I mean, if somebody said to you, you know, your father was a serial killer, man, I'm not sure I could handle that. Probably would flip right out. Okay, we're going to go to open line calls. We are opening up a hotline on all the lines. I want to ask you specifically, how close did you come to the moment of death when something happened, whether it was in an operating room or almost a car accident? I wanted to see what happened. And if you had that day, any impressions that something was going to happen to you? Did you feel strange? So we're going to get to your calls. And don't forget your texts to Tom. We'll be doing that, too, when we come back. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. Open Lines on a Friday night. Just doesn't get any better, does it? Who shall we go to first? Let's try Justin in Texas. Welcome to the program, Justin. What do you got for us?
I'm sorry, say again?
You're up. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to we were talking about some spirits and paranormal activity earlier in the program. I'm a paramedic in Southeast Texas. Been on the ambulance for about 3 years. I've had many patients die, many patients born in my unit. Lately, though, I've been working up in dispatch, and one of our dispatchers passed away about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And the spot that he occupied, we've noticed there's been some coolness and hotness in this area, and it seems to fluctuate. It can be very cold in the whole room, but very hot in his area, and vice versa. It's very hot in the room, but very cold in his area.
Are you getting any strange dispatches at all?
No, nothing out of the normal. But it seems that, you know, anywhere, it's about a 4x8 area, but you pass by that area and you just get this weird feeling.
Yeah,
and
you
they've been
feel
expanding
it.
On the they've been expanding on the building, and if you look across the station, there is a big glass window where they're looking to add on in the future. And many of my coworkers have reported seeing you know, figures in the window, which nobody's there on the other side.
Huh.
Nothing's built, it's just ducting.
And I would guess, Justin, that's got to be a job, a dispatcher you better really like, because that's tense, isn't it?
It is. I'm a dispatcher, and I also work on the ambulance. And that's another thing is, you know, we've had many people die. We try our best to save people.
Of
Sometimes
course, yeah.
There's nothing you can do. So we've had many people die in our units. We've had many people born in our units. But there also seems to be certain trucks that there's been many deaths that take place. And what happens is there's mechanical issues that happens to these trucks that shouldn't be there.
What is the one story, Justin, that you'll always remember that was associated to you going out on assignment?
Out on assignment, I remember it was one of the trucks that I was on. I ran on a 16-year-old female girl who was struck by a car, who the driver was a bit suicidal, was on drugs, and actually struck the vehicle at about 100 miles an hour.
Oh.
Killed the 16-year-old female girl. And since then, since I've been working in that truck, we've had electronic problems. We've had issues mechanically in the back.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You know, and I also used to work in a hospital, and it's kind of gory, but what I would do is if a person passed away on a certain hospital bed, I would take a marker, and I would mark the back of it. I would make hash marks just to kind of keep track of, you know, if a certain bed had something to do with it. And I've noticed that those beds have produced more deaths than the other ones.
Now, that's an interesting research project, isn't it?
It is, and I've tried, and that was about a year and a half, and what I've discovered is around 60 to 65% of the beds that a patient was placed in a critical state, they passed away.
Man, if I ever have to go to the hospital, I'm going to look behind the bed and see if there's any notches there.
If you're in Southeast Texas and you do, hey, look behind that. Try
that's
to get
right.
In another bed.
Yeah, get out of the bed with the notches, that's for sure. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Bill in New Hampshire. Welcome to the story east of the Rockies. Hi, Bill.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. So I have a story about a brush with death.
Okay, what happened?
So I used to own a taxi company, and before I owned it, I just worked for the company, and it was a Friday night. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I was probably listening to your show, and we get a call. So I was basically finishing for the night. So this is my last call for the night. We'll pick up these two gentlemen. I did not feel good about them when they were getting in the car. They didn't look right. And they got in. And I said, "Well, where are you going?" One of them said, "Around the hospital."
Oh no!
To the hospital, and he said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." Put in drive. Started driving down the road. The guy behind me came over with a pipe, started strangling me. The guy put a gun to my head. And at the time, we had these, you know, the phones where you had the button on the side to push to talk.
Yeah.
So I grabbed the phone to radio to my coworker to let him know if something was going on. I got the button pushed with my last breath, and the guy grabbed my hand, slowly took the phone out of my hand, put it down. They wanted my money. And I used to keep my money on a... in a money bag on the dashboard, and I kept trying to reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just out of my reach, and every time I'd reach for it, he'd pull tighter on the pipe around my neck.
Jeez.
And, you know, I couldn't reach it. I kind of just submitted to the fact that I was going to die. You know, it was see the moon from my window, and I was just looking at the moon, and I just was ready. And to be honest with you, I just wanted to be over. I just wanted them to just do it, or whatever was going to happen, just get it over.
Just be done with it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm assuming their eyes adjusted to the light or something, and they were able to see my money bag, and they jumped over, grabbed it, and, you know, 2 seconds later, they were gone. And, and you know, I took off like a bat out of hell, and, you know.
Did they ever catch the thugs?
They did, because that night they had actually called the company several times from a friend's cell phone. We live in a small town, about 25,000. The news got out, and everybody knows the taxi drivers, and everybody, you know. And so very quickly, the friend actually turned them in because he didn't want to go down.
Good. What happened to them? What did they get? Convicted?
Well, they were. It was drug related. They wanted the money for drugs, so they ended up going to the state prison for a couple of years on the robbery charge and, you know, some drug stuff as well. And it was rehab and all that stuff. So they got out and a couple years later and they're living their lives, I guess. And about a month later, I actually got totaled by a drunk driver. So they thought I would never drive.
You better be careful. You know, we get 9 lives, they say. I don't know how many you've used up already.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, the funny part was I have a lot of anxiety about death, but after I got robbed, it actually, I was good for a good year at least. Like, I really was clear and okay about it, because even though I was scared, there was a moment of calm, and I never thought I would actually wish for it to be over.
Yeah.
But I knew that if that was possible, then maybe it's not so bad when your time comes.
Well, I'm glad you pulled out of that. Hey, thanks for that story, Bill. Tom's got a text for us back in the L.A. studios. Tom, what do you got for us to start?
We do. By the way, 13 years? That's coming up quick. I didn't realize.
Can you believe it? And you, Dan, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, Sean, everybody's been with us for 13 years. That's unprecedented in broadcasting.
That's crazy. You know. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. So we have something here from Jeff in New Mexico. Says, hey, George, being in the business for so long, can you tell us your favorite, 1, news anchor of all time, and 2, your favorite sports broadcaster of all time?
Well, I guess if we're dealing with people that I worked with or people that I haven't, because my favorite, of course, of all times was Walter Cronkite. And I mean, he was the best. But you know what? This week, I really had a great time talking to Ted Koppel.
That was awesome.
That was
a good interview.
That was fun watching him all these years since 1980. Heck, I was 30 years old when he was broadcasting, and that was a trip for me. But Walter Cronkite, of course, would be the preeminent one. And in terms of sports, I liked, and tell me if you can guess who this is.
Okay, go.
And now he's got the ball, and he's on the 5-yard line. Who is that?
Okay, say Joe Willie Namath.
Yeah, now so, you know who it is.
That's awesome. And you know who I like too?
Howard
is your
Cosell.
Friend. Yeah, but don't you also know Bobby Costas?
I know Bobby real well.
Yeah, I like
he
him
lives
too.
Lives in St. Louis. I run into him when he's not in New York. I run into him all the time when I'm in St. Louis.
Yeah, him or Cosell, you can't go wrong.
And Bobby is one heck of a person. He's done foundations. He's devoted his time to help kids. He's a great sportscaster. He is amazing with statistics. I mean, this guy, Tom, yeah, you know my buddy Brad?
Yeah, I do.
Brad knows statistics almost like no other.
The baseball guy, right?
Costas is better than him.
Really? I mean,
Bobby knows averages, dates, you name it, he's got it. I mean, that's why, you know, he's tapped by NBC to do Olympics and all these other things.
He did the miracle call, right?
Yes, he did.
Do you believe in miracles?
Oh, no. That was Al Michaels, wasn't it?
Or Al Michaels, yeah, excuse me. That's right.
You should know that. You're a hockey guy.
I knew you were going to say that.
Okay, well, get your text ready for the next half, okay?
Thanks.
All right, let's go to Tim in Riverside, California. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm a leftover from the Bigfoot side of things.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you if you were familiar with any of the Cain and Abel relationship to the Bigfoot explanation.
No, tell me.
All right. Well, my understanding is back in the 1870s approximately, there's a Mormon church leader that related an experience where he came in contact with what he believes was Cain. And as we know, Cain was cursed to walk the earth for the rest of his life to never taste death, and anyone else who tried to kill him would experience the...
Because he killed his brother Abel, right?
Correct. So, it's been related that Cain is a very tall man. This Mormon leader back in the 1870s related his contact that while he was riding his horse, this individual who was identified himself basically as Cain was eye to eye with him and had this really bad smell to his person. So if he's been wandering the earth for 4,000 or 5,000 years, he hasn't had a haircut or a bath, and he just lives in the environment, and this is the one needle in the haystack that's traveling the world.
Interesting. And he may be traveling everywhere, right? So he's in North America, he's in the Himalayas, he's everywhere.
So that's the experience that I relate.
All right, I like that. That's an interesting twist to the Bigfoot story, that's for sure. Let's go to Dexter in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Dexter, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, long time no speak. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear.
Hey, so I wanted to talk about the shooting that happened in California.
Sure.
There's multiple things that I found to be kind of odd, but the main thing was today, did you see how they let the journalists into the house?
Yeah, the landlord did. Yeah. Once the FBI gave the, you know what amazed me about everything beyond letting the journalists in there to videotape the insides of the house was the fact that the FBI and law enforcement gave up that house so quickly. They went in there, did what they had to do, and they were done. I thought that would have been a police scene for 2 months.
Well, it would have been in any other circumstance. Doesn't that, you know, ring alarm bells to you? I mean, isn't something odd here? I mean, they were showing pictures of the family on TV. They were showing government IDs. I mean, it was bizarre. And you even had mainstream coverage. Anderson Cooper was mystified by it. So it was Wolf Blitzer, Greta on Fox, the MSNBC person as it was happening. I mean, it was just bizarre. And that was just today. I mean, after Sandy Hook, I don't think they let the media in the house of the shooter ever, did they?
No. There is something weird about all this. And I just don't get it. Now, the landlord gave them permission to go in into the apartment. But the fact that law enforcement would so quickly, on this kind of a story, 14
exactly,
people dead,
yeah,
a number critical, and the possibility that it might have had an ISIS connection, and people
exactly
are... it's weird.
The president said himself that they don't even know what the motive is yet. How could the FBI be done with the investigation of the house?
I would have said no journalists or anybody other than law enforcement comes into this house with gloves on and booties and everything else.
Can I mention a couple other things, too, that's weird?
Yeah, I've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, there was drills going on at the same time.
Yep,
like,
that's true.
You know, 9/11, London bombing, Sandy Hook. There was originally three shooters. Now there's only two. That's another thing that's in common, different amount of shooters. The SUV that away in supposedly for like 4 hours was found, what, like 2 miles away? Whenever they sealed a perimeter much bigger than that right away, and they were found just miles away from the crime scene. I mean, the whole thing stinks, man.
They got them awfully fast, I'll tell you that. We'll be back. Hey, by the way, next week, which is just in a few days, we're going to have a tribute to Frank Sinatra. He would have been 100 years old this month. And singer and actor Robert Davi, of course, who sings Sinatra, will be one of our guests during that special tribute next week. Just go to our website and watch all the things that are happening and look at the guests that are popping up and just spend at least an hour a day, if you can, at our website, because it truly is a magnificent piece of work there. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let us pick it up by going to Barbara in Los Angeles. Hello, Barbara. Good morning to you.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about an organization that deals with persons with mental illness in a different way than just advocating stuffing drugs down your throat.
All right.
It's called the National Empowerment Center. It's in Massachusetts. What they do is they give you strokes for coping, even though it may not look to the outside world like you're coping. like that you're working through your problems, and they put out materials, and they have this guy on staff, his name is Daniel Fisher, and he's a psychiatrist, and he used to be a mental health client, and I think he would make a good guest. I think he could explain it better than I could, but it's from the standpoint, it's called ECPR, where you're given positive reinforcement for what you're going through when you're traumatized, not told, well, you got to stuff it away.
Yeah, or you're nuts or something like that. It sounds like they're on some pretty cutting-edge stuff, Barbara.
Yeah, they put out materials, and they also have
Let me tell you, if you have a computer, email me some information on it at george@coasttocoastam.com, if you would. Let's use Skype now and go to Vietnam. Chuck is with us way out there on the other side of the world. Hey, Chuck, go ahead. Good to have you with us.
It's Saturday afternoon around 3:30 where I am.
Very good.
Anyway.
How long have you been in Vietnam now?
Just a few weeks. I'm on another job. George, I've talked to you.
That's right. You're all over the planet.
Yeah, you know what? I checked in about 2-3 months ago from Mauritania in Africa.
That's right.
We didn't have much time to talk. And I just want to share first of all, I mean, I'm a long-time listener, and I've been on Insider since the beginning, I think.
Thank you.
It's the way I keep in touch with news out of the States. I'm on the other side of the planet sometimes. But as a matter of fact, I even had, at one point, I had two international children sponsors going on. And I've been following you for a long time. Big fan.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Anyways, and I'm a naval officer. I graduated a ROC program out of Newport, Rhode Island in 72, about the same time you were going through.
Great. Good for you.
Program. And
one more year, I would have been a lieutenant commander. One more year, and I got out.
that's a lot of, I guess, a lot of time. I didn't stay in that long. I was in not as, but anyways, long story. But, Mauritania is a republic of Islam, okay?
Yeah.
Strictly Islamic republic. I want to let you know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for any person. I mean, I work, I have a lot of people skills, and I work with a lot of different people. At 4:30 in the morning, they start the prayer calls, okay? These people, I'm sorry to say, sometimes seem mind numb because they're overwhelmed with dogma, if you will, and I couldn't talk to people. I mean, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not here to convert anybody. But I go to church in every different country and do a lot of different things with a lot of people. And it's very disheartening when I have to talk to Muslim people that it just doesn't work for them. You can't have a conversation. At least I couldn't, anyways. And I've worked in Morocco and in other different places where it's a strictly, closed subject with most of these people. And I hate to be, I don't know, just covering all with one stroke of the brush. I'm sure there's others that could be said. I mean, I listen to Steve Quayle when you have him on. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer. Let's just put it that way.
Well, how do they treat you, Chuck, when you're there in that environment? I mean, are they trying to convert you? Do they put you down because of your religion? Are they open-minded at all?
No, they're not open-minded for your last question, but I've been treated very well. I mean, I come with a lot of technical expertise. I show up to put something together that's going to make profit and industrial. I'm in steel mills and factories.
Okay.
So when I get there, I get treated very well by everybody. I can't complain about the treatment. When I pull somebody aside or want to have a personal conversation and let's talk about what you believe and how you operate, and it's not open. I mean, there's no open-minded things going on. It's just black or white, and then they shut it down, which I find kind of sad for them. They're not open for a lot of different things, it's a closed culture. It's causing problems, and until they step up and open up their own hearts to the different things, it's going to continue to be a problem.
I think so too. And the religious leaders have got to stop preaching hatred.
Those are the guys that'll steer a hole in me. I mean, and on Friday afternoons, they have prayer, okay, which is fine, okay, for 2-3 hours after lunch, they go to service, okay, and the mullahs show up, and they're in their, you know, their robes and stuff, and those guys are just, they just don't have a, there's no smile on their face, there's no warmth, their openness, that you could just, I just feel the hatred, or just feel bad vibration.
Yeah.
Put it down.
No, you're right. You are right. Well, Chuck, be safe. Check in with us on your next trip. You remind me of the kid in the movie, The Radio Flyer, because you're all over the place.
Yeah, I've been around. I've worked in over 25 countries. I'm about the same age as you. I've been around.
What's your home base in the States?
Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, of course. I'm a Steeler fan.
Yeah.
But I live in Ocala, Florida now, and I travel from there with my wife. We live out kind of in the country out there.
Okay. All right. Be safe.
God bless.
Thanks, Chuck. Have yourself a great Christmas as well. Tom, you've got another text message for me back there.
I do. So I love technology. I just watched a guy in Vietnam talk to a guy in St. Louis, hearing it on the radio in Los Angeles.
And he sounds like he was next door.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I was watching
the technology is just superb.
It is. This is from Sarah in Wisconsin. I've been researching crop circles, and it seems the most popular beliefs are they are either made by extreme weather or by extraterrestrials. What do you think?
I have my own theory, and that is I think the planet is alive. And when I talked to Patty Greer this week about crop formations, she hinted that she agrees with me. This planet is a living creature because everything alive on it can live. And I think it's its way of trying to communicate with us. It's telling us something.
Have you ever seen one up close?
A crop formation?
Yeah.
I've never been in one, but I've seen it from a distance.
I'd like to be in one. That would be neat.
Hey, by the way, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You are the creator of the Coast Style Holiday Magic CD.
I am.
For veterans, how is it going this year?
It's going well. As you know, we've reissued it, and we just thought we'd try to put a little more money into the veterans' hospitals. And it's just a neat little thing to get and trim your tree and listen to it, and you're helping vets, which is a very good cause.
Still not too late to get it?
It's not. It's always up on Amazon, so you can get it in May of next year. But if you want to get it right now, just go to Amazon.com and put in Holiday Magic Coast Style, or you go to coasttocoastam.com.
And you've got some great singers on that CD.
It's amazing the talent I found. I when I first thought about this, I thought, I don't know if this is going to work. But, I mean, when you hear, for instance, when you hear William Henry play guitar.
Or Jim Paris play his trumpet, right?
Amazing. Just amazing.
There's a woman by the name of Raquel who's got a voice like an angel.
She sings with this guy on here, too. You might know him. He's you.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, you guys, you know what? You guys were very good, actually.
I was speaking at a Greek event a couple days ago. My buddy Peter Vaccaro puts it on. And Peter gets up and he says, they had a guy there who was his one-man band. He's got all the equipment of what would be a 15-piece orchestra right there on a keyboard. And Peter says, and by the way, our dear guest, George Norrie, and this is like 3 hours before the show where I had to get to the cave to do the program, says he's now going to sing for us. And I go, oh, no.
What did you do?
So I went up, and this guy with his keyboard had all the songs I needed, and he just plugged them in, and I just knocked them all out. It was great. They went crazy.
Off.
Yep, I sure
That's
did.
Excellent. You like singing at the stage shows.
Yeah, huh? It's fun. And by the way, can we announce at this point the St. Louis event? Is that official yet, at least in terms of the date, June 15th?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, go ahead.
That's going to happen June 15th, my very first live stage show event in St. Louis. We're not going to tell you where yet, but just, you know, keep listening to the radio and checking my event schedule under hosts at coasttocoastam.com. But Hummin' the Theater, which we won't say yet where it is, seats how many?
I believe 750, I think.
Good. Let's stack it. That'll be great. I know my daughters are coming and my son's coming, and it'll be fun.
Your mom has to come.
If we can get her out of Detroit. Now, we got her into Toronto, but she may come because it's summertime. She doesn't like traveling in the wintertime.
We'll get her there.
She's 86. I tell you the story about her, and then we'll get to other calls.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving, she served a dinner to senior citizens, and she called me up the next day, and you know, we talked on Thanksgiving too, of course, but she said, "They're so old." I said, "Mom, they're younger than you." She's one of a kind.
She's so cool. She's just
one of a kind.
Tommy, how dare she?
She talks to you more than me.
That's true.
All right. See you later. Tom Danheiser. It's our senior producer. Let's go to Linda in Illinois. Hello, Linda. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. I just love your show.
Well, thank you.
And I love Tommy.
Tommy's great. You know, we almost lost him on a plane.
I know. And I'm grateful for him.
Now every time he's on a plane, he gets up and he walks every 20 minutes, and he's up and down the aisles and everything else.
Yeah, he's just flirting with the women.
Yeah, we put a little flight attendant's outfit on him, and off he goes.
Yeah, there he goes. Put his little airplane wings on his chest. Anyhow, I have 2 points to make.
Okay.
One, our government is constantly telling us how safe we are, and they're looking out for us. And they're listening into our phone calls, you know, and reading our emails and all this stuff. And then this happens in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Somebody dropped the ball.
Yep, somebody did. These two apparently were way under the radar.
If these guys were so smart as they claim they are, they would have caught it.
Something weird about this whole case.
There is, and they're not telling us the truth.
Something weird. I mean, this...
Okay, the second point.
All right, go ahead.
I was telling Tommy this. He couldn't believe it. About 10 years ago, my uncle was in the hospital, and he was very sick. He had cancer. And a cousin who lived in Texas at the time, she couldn't get up here to see him. And I'm 60 miles away from the hospital he was in. So I said, okay. I told her, I said, we'll go three-way. So I called her, got her on the phone, then I called him. And the nurse that was in the room happened to be my next door neighbor, and she answered it. She handed him the phone, and my cousin started talking to him, and I was talking to him, and that. And we heard funny noises or something. I can't explain that. But anyhow, the nurse took the phone, and she goes, "Linda," and I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I'm sorry, but he's gone."
Oh.
And I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, where did he go? Because I'm thinking maybe they took him to go do tests.
Yeah, he got up and went somewhere.
And I said, well, where did he go? She goes, Linda, he's gone. He passed away.
Ugh.
While we were on the phone with him.
At that time?
At that time.
Yep. How does that work?
It don't.
You got it. Linda, hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to Ken in Hemet, California. Hi, Ken. Thanks for holding so long.
Hey, George. I've been listening to our bell back since 1993.
Way back. Boy, you're one of the originals.
Well, I was a bad boy to state whooping my butt a little bit. So I got introduced to it. But I've been hanging with the program. But anyway, I got a great story for you, and it's true. I was with the Army out of high school, 73 to 77, 4 years active.
Okay.
But we went into Fort Knox, Kentucky, IT, and then Fort Hood, first cab. And did Army, and then I went to Germany. But between Fort Hood and Germany, I took two weeks leave, and I'm marrying my high school sweetheart. We're 16 when we met, right? We're both 60 now. But, you know, anyway, I'm 2 weeks leave, so I'm leaving early November. I'm traveling up on Interstate 10. I just get in Arizona. I'm a cocky young dude. I mean, I'm strong and healthy as a bull. And I'm seeing all these bats, and I got my shotgun, and nobody's tripping on something like that back then. So it's flying north of it, freeway. Sunset setting in the west. Sun's already gone down, but the lights are up there, and you can't see the bats unless you look up in the sky. So I know I'm popping these off of the 12-gauge, right? And they're hard to hit. But anyway, I'm looking a little west, and the sun's toward the sunset, but the sun's down, but there's this object bouncing left and right, zigzagging, but it's heading eastbound. But it's on the north side of the freeway, and there's mountains right there. And then there's this cloud, like a light, you know, thin cloud, but enough to where it blocked the thing out for a minute. And then when it came out behind the cloud, it's heading north. But, you know, did a 90-degree turn. I don't know if it's sharp turn on it, but it wasn't traveling real fast. It was traveling like a jetliner, like cruising. But it was I've never seen nothing like it except for some film in down in Mexico. They were showing something zigzagging like that.
Weird.
The next, I'm dancing out in front of, the car. My oldest son's 41 now, but he was a baby then. The wife got him in her arms with a little pinot wagon full of stuff. And I'm dancing out there saying, take me.
Come and pick you up.
Shotgun in the hand, and nobody's tripping back in those days, you know? You're a young kid, you know? And it's, so this thing, after I did that, they got me on the cut. It was going the other way. Like, you know, this guy ain't worth it, right? Well, I was going to get home that night. Next day, it's in the paper, right? This guy gets abducted. This is like the 5th or 6th of November, you know, early November.
Because yeah.
When I went to Germany, that was Thanksgiving Day, because they were serving, in Frankfurt, they were serving Thanksgiving dinner. Their army, but that... Yeah, but anyway, this guy just picked up, right? And he's cutting wood out of the wood and shit. And then, he's gone for a few days, but they made a movie about that shit. Firing this guy. And I don't know how true that story is, but whatever happened to that guy, I think it happened because I've never...
Well, you saw a UFO. There's no question about that. Hey, I want to give you the schedule, by the way, and then we'll come back with a final hour of course, Open Lines. I'm going to be on Sunday. Richard Surrett's going to be on Saturday night. He's got a couple great guests. And then I'm going to be on Sunday night talking with Linda Selvin about psychic work. And then Eric Pearl joins us. He's a self-healer. Incredible stories there. And then Monday, Joel Wallach's coming from criticalhealthnews.com with more incredible information. You can't believe the emails I get when Joel is on. I mean, we're just flooded. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Rosicrucians, Egypt, on the second half of Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're talking about volcanoes. Get ready for that. David Wilcock joins us on Tuesday night as well, talking about reincarnation and soul consciousness. Stephen Schwartz on transformation on Wednesday. Great program on Thursday. Mark Zakri on The Twilight Zone and Robert Davi on Frank Sinatra. 100 years old Frank would have been. Can you believe that? And then Friday, Jimmy Church in for me as I lock off a vacation day. I've got 34 weeks of vacation, and I'm only going to take a few days. That's it. I don't need any more. I'll be back.